you can open with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we continue our study in 2 Timothy. We've been looking at the first couple verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we want to continue that tonight. Let me read the first 7 verses as we've been doing for the last couple weeks. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first to be partaker of the crop. Consider what I have said, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. We've been doing that. We've been considering what he has said. Tonight I want to talk about, I want to do part 2 of verses 3 and 4. Last 2 weeks ago when we studied that section, I wasn't able to really get to a real important point, and I think tonight is a good night, and the Lord is obviously directing it, and I think it's going to fit in perfectly with what's going on in Africa and what's happening in our church. I want to talk tonight about either being a soldier or a civilian. Many of us probably don't think about it. Many of us aren't really aware of it, but we are all called as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's read verses 3 and 4 again, and I think the Lord will give us understanding. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Notice he tells Timothy, Paul speaking again here to Timothy, he tells Timothy here, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because you're a soldier. And notice the word good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Every one of us have been enlisted into the army of God. If you're a Christian tonight, if you're a believer tonight, you are a part of the army of God. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ. Whether you're aware of that or not, whether you're in tune to that or not, you and I are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now the question comes, are we good soldiers of Jesus Christ? And do we endure hardships as good soldiers of Jesus Christ? But the reality is that we are soldiers. That's why Paul tells Timothy in verse 4, he says, no one engaged in warfare. Listen to that. No one engaged in warfare. Listen, a soldier is engaged in warfare. Now, we're not the kind of soldiers that we have today, many times in America, that sit on an army base, that are trained and just kind of go through their daily duties but don't know anything of warfare. There are many soldiers today that have never ever experienced warfare, hand-to-hand, actual, real live combat. They've never done it. And today there's big talk about the different things that are happening in the world and the reality of us being involved in a very large-scale war. And we don't have anyone that's really trained. We've got maybe some pilots that have fought in some wars in the past, but we don't have really ground troops that have really fought, because the new generation has never experienced hand-to-hand combat. And there's a concern of how will we be able to handle that as America without the experience, because our soldiers aren't experienced with warfare. They've heard about it. They've had lectures on it. They've been trained, but they've never experienced it. But you know, as a Christian, we're not in that kind of a warfare. We're not sitting on a base, maybe the church. We're not just sitting at church and just saying, well, we might one day eventually be called into duty. Right now, we're just in training. Listen, you might be in training. I hope tonight that this Bible study is more training for you Think about it. Think about the church being a base. A base of operation. Think about the church right now. Us being here, being trained by the Lord, being taught through the Word of how to be good soldiers. But here's the thing about it. Every one of you right now today, whether you know it or not, are engaged in warfare. And you know, one of the biggest problems with us today is we don't realize that we're simply soldiers. We don't see it. Because the warfare that we're involved with is invisible. It's warfare that's unseen. It's warfare that many times we're not aware of. Our enemy is invisible. Our enemy is unseen. And many times we as believers are fighting the wrong enemy. If we do say, hey, I realize I'm in warfare, we don't realize who our enemy is. We many times think our enemy is, a system. Our enemy is people. Our enemy is something that's going on. Our enemy is a situation in our life. And reality is, the Bible makes very clear who our enemy is. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Very clearly, Peter lays out who our enemy is. And he doesn't make any mistake about it. Verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, real clear, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, right now, presently, at this very moment, is walking about, but you don't see him. And Peter brings about the most vicious animal in the wilderness. In the Bible days, people understood this. If I was teaching this in Africa, people would understand. There have been people that have been killed by lions. When you go into Africa and you go into tribes, that's one of the things that kill people. Snakes, lions, and war. Different kinds of animals. Lions have mauled people. I've talked with people that have seen people be killed in front of them by a lion and have fled for their life and have barely escaped for their own life. This is a reality. In Bible days, it was a reality. Here's a vicious animal. That is, Peter is going to picture here. This is what your adversary, the devil, walks about. Like a lion seeking prey. Like a lion in the wilderness, walking about, creeping along. Walking carefully and silently, ready to pounce upon innocent prey. He is seeking to devour. He is seeking to destroy. He is seeking to kill. This is the reality of the enemy. Paul understands that. Peter obviously understood that. Jesus made it really clear in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he says there that the thief, speaking of the enemy, he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He has come to steal from you. He has come to kill you. He has come to destroy you. But Jesus says, but I have come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. Whether Jesus there is speaking of the false teachers, it behind that is the enemy. Behind those things, behind what is happening, is the enemy. He is coming to steal from us. The enemy has come to kill us. We must recognize tonight that we have an enemy. That is the first step to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Recognizing, wait a second, I've got an enemy. You've got an enemy. And this enemy is real. And this enemy is active. He's not an enemy on, another continent far away that maybe one day we'll experience, maybe one day we'll come in contact with. There's an enemy tonight in this room. There's an enemy tonight warring for your soul. There's an enemy that is after you, that is seeking to devour you, that is pictured in the Bible as a roaring lion walking about, ready to stomp on you. Know this, your enemy won't have mercy on you. Your enemy finds your weaknesses and hits you right there. When you're down, when you're hurt, when you simply need a break, that's when your enemy hits. That's when he comes in. And he's coming to kill. He's coming to steal. He's coming to destroy. He's got no mercy. He's not going to relent. He's not going to back off. But he's going to go after you. And so many Christians don't even realize they have an enemy. So many Christians don't even see that they're in a battle. So many Christians don't even realize that they're in warfare. And they think, why is this? Why isn't God helping me? Why isn't God doing this? Why are these things happening in my life? Not realizing that you are involved in a war and you don't realize you're a soldier. You see, a soldier lives a different way than a civilian. A soldier has a different mindset than the common civilian. A soldier is ready for war. A soldier is prepared. A soldier has been trained. And a soldier is watchful. A soldier is aware of what's happening. See, a soldier knows he has an enemy. A soldier knows his job is to take down that enemy. His job is to protect the civilians. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how many of us realize tonight that as we became Christians, we were enlisted by the Father into warfare, into His army. Now, here's the wonderful thing about it. I know the outcome, the end of the final battle of this great army. We will win. We will win. And if we would but realize tonight that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ and that we're involved in warfare and we would engage ourselves in the life of a soldier, we would find victory. We would find strength. We would find all of the weapons we need, all of the training we need, all of the wisdom we need, everything we need we have. And we know this, the end result is that we will ultimately have victory over our enemy. The devil will be under his feet. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign upon this earth, which right now, Satan, it is his domain. He is ruling and reigning upon this earth. And one day Jesus Christ will, and we are His army. Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back in what we call the second coming in Revelation chapter 19, He comes back with His army. He comes back on a white horse and His army is behind Him. He comes back with, according to the book of Jude, 10,000s of His saints. He comes back with you and I as we are there in a glorified body, in a body of victory, a body that has overcome death and sin and judgment, a body that has overcome hell, a body that is ready to rule and reign with Him. The whole picture there is a complete victory. And brothers and sisters, that's our end. And we tonight need to realize that we are engaged in warfare. And if I realize that, I'm going to live as a soldier. A soldier lives a different way than a civilian. Think about it. Think about the life that you and I have as civilians in the physical realm. We do whatever we want, whenever we want to do it. We sleep when we want, we eat when we want, we eat what we want, we eat how much we want, and boy, we do that good. We go where we want, we see who we want, we do whatever we want. We spend our money how we want, we just live life for ourselves. But you see, a soldier has surrendered his freedoms. A soldier has surrendered his freedoms for freedom. A soldier surrenders his freedom to keep our country free. A soldier surrenders his will to the will of his captain, to the will of his sergeant. A soldier gives up what he has and he leaves the life of a civilian and he goes and he joins the military. And he goes, first of all, to what we know as boot camp. And he simply loses his will, loses his life at boot camp. He loses everything that he knows to be true of life. And they literally simply assault this guy. and they abuse this guy. And they'll wake him in the middle of the night, and they'll make him go without sleep, make him go without food, put him through rigorous training, test him, make sure that he's fully submitted, fully obedient at every command of the sergeant, at every move he makes. The soldier is no longer his own. The soldier no longer has his own will. The soldier no longer does what he wants when he wants, eats what he wants, sleeps. The soldier is simply submitted and obedient. And why do they do that? Why do they do all of those horrible things to those soldiers? To make them good soldiers. To make them ready for warfare. To make them ready for battle. And you know what? As Christians, though, we aren't in that same kind of a soldier. It's in a spiritual sense. We ought to realize that we've been enlisted into the army of God. And so many of us in our spiritual lives live as civilians and we don't live as soldiers. We don't see the necessity for training. We don't see the necessity for 100% total submission and obedience. We go on living our lives. In our spiritual walks, we live as we live in the physical. We do what we want, when we want, because we want. We don't listen to those words from the Lord. We don't hear many times those callings to come away, to be prepared, to rise early, to spend time in sacrificial prayer, in study. When the Lord says to us, go here, do this, we many times don't even hear Him. And when we do, we're not so sure we're ready to obey Him. We've lost. We've lost the sweetness and the power of what it means to be a soldier. We're engaged in warfare. And why do you think it is that you and I go out into this world, go out into our day, and we come home and we feel like we've been beaten to a pulp? Because we went out like this. Oh, I'm just going to work today. I'm just a civilian. No, you're not. You're living like one, but you're in a warfare. There are bombs dropping. There's you know, bullets flying. And you're just, oh. What's that? Oh, why is that happening? And just walking aimlessly through this life. And not realizing that you're in a war. And so many of us don't even realize, wait, I'm in a war. We don't even get to step one saying, hey, yeah, I need training. Yeah, I need the Lord. Yes, I need the armor of God because I'm in a battle. Let alone get those things. We don't even see it. And then we go, why is the Lord doing this to me? The Lord's not doing anything to you. The Lord has promised you strength, protection, guidance, but you haven't even taken it. You haven't seen in your life a need for it. And we live as civilians. We spend our money like civilians. We spend our time like civilians. And God's got something different for us. God's got a whole different plan for us. We're Christians. We're His children. He's called us out of the world. He hasn't made us a part of the world. He's separated us from the world. He's got a different plan for our lives. We can't live like the others do. Because we are engaged in a battle. We are engaged in warfare. And Paul says to Timothy, the thing that is going to trip you up and is going to hinder you from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ is being engaged in warfare if you entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. That's what the civilian does. The civilian entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And if you do so, Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, there in verse 4, if you entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, you will not be able to please Him who has enlisted you as a soldier. You have been enlisted. You will not be pleasing to the Lord. You can't. Paul is not telling Timothy, God is going to condemn you. God is going to be angry with you. You're not going to be pleasing to Him. He's saying you can't. You won't. If you are entangled with the affairs of this life, you can't do the work of God. That's just a fact. It's not a thing of God being mad at me or God upset with me. It's just reality. Just like if a physical American soldier was living a life like you're living right now, like a civilian, and was called into battle, we would have some serious problems. He couldn't be a good soldier. Listen, I would fear right now if the men in our church had to go into war. I'd fear for our country. I'd fear for our lives. These guys aren't fit for it. These guys aren't trained for it. I know they think they are. They think they're the strongest, toughest, bravest guys ever. But they're not. And we would be in big trouble if we were all called into active duty right now. Big trouble. Because we wouldn't be, a lot of you guys don't even know how to shoot a gun. You don't even know what side. I mean, you know, you just see you. I got my gun on you. You just run out there like this. We don't have a clue. Why? Because we haven't been trained. And anybody that's been trained would give me a hearty amen. You know, we just don't even, you know, we might think we're great. We watched a movie, you know, I can do it. You don't have a clue. And, you know, it's amazing because like right now, if the nation Israel, if they called their men into active duty, these guys could fight. You know why? Because every one of them have been trained. When they graduate high school, 3 years of training. They don't go to college, they go to the military. And this nation has been trained. Every single man of the age of 21 has had 3 years of training in the military. Every one of them knows how to shoot a gun. Every one of them knows how to fight. Every one of them knows how to deal with warfare. And so you could call America's civilians into active duty. You could call Israel's civilians into active duty. And it's a whole different thing. You know, even the gals could fight. All of them. 2 years. Right when they get out of high school. The whole nation is trained. And that's why that nation is scary to those around it. Because it's powerful. But us, we're living it up. Having a great time. And none of us could fight that haven't been trained. Because we're simply civilians. And should we, you know, be judged for that? We're civilians. Hey, we're not claiming to be soldiers. But so many Christians are civilians. Civilians in their walks. And they're not soldiers. But wait, they've been called into active duty. They'd have been enlisted into the army of God. And they're in the midst of warfare. And they don't even know they're in it. Wow. And that causes me to draw back. And, you know, as I come to this text, and the reason I wanted to share this scripture with you again tonight and deal with this issue is because I know that in our church, there is a lot of warfare. There's a lot of war going on. We're going out on the front lines of battle. Passion and love for the Lord, say we're ready to take the world. We're going to take the Bible literally. When the Bible says to go into all the nations and preach the gospel, we're going to take that literally. We believe in that. Amen. And so we're going to go do that. But wait a second. We think we can live as civilians and then jump out and go out in the battle. And you say, well, I'm not going out there. I'm not going to be a missionary. I wasn't talking about being a missionary. You're part of this body. The missionaries just are a certain rank, if you would, of soldiers on the mission, out on the field. They're the guys that are on the front line. But if you know anything about warfare, it's just not guys carrying guns. I don't even know much about it. But there's all kinds of different operations, there's the communications, there's the base, there's the training, there's so much going on. It's just a military isn't made up of people carrying machine guns and going into battle. That's just a piece of it. And if you would, it's like our missionaries are going out, and these guys and the people in our church that are in ministry, they're out there, they're on the front lines, as we would think, but there's so much more. And you're a part of that. And you're in warfare, and you're a key link to those people. And maybe you're a part of that radio. Listen, those guys are depending upon you. Those guys out in the battlefield that have the radio, they're depending on you to make sure you're telling them what's coming their way. There is so much going on, and every one of us are in warfare. And this church is being assaulted continually. When I say this church, I mean you. You're the church. We are being assaulted continually by the attacks of the enemy. And so many of us don't even realize that that's what's going on. And we're not ready for it. We're not prepared. We're not going to stand. Peter says there in verse 9, he says, after saying that Satan, the devil is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he says, resist him. Resist him steadfast in your faith. Stand up. Fight. Resist the words that are used there in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. They're military terms. They're terms of a watchman. To be sober, alert. To be aware of what's happening. To be vigilant. To know what's going on around you. To be ready at any time for the assault to come. And to be standing with authority and with strength and with protection. As we look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, we must put on the whole armor of God. We must be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's something we must do before the war hits us, before the arrows start flying, before things start happening. Listen, Joe Horner wakes up in the morning. He goes and does what he normally does. He doesn't know today you're going to be driving a car into the midst of a mob with two armed guards on the top of your roof, hoping that it's all going to work out. He had no idea. You and I didn't know that. And we're those that are calling on the Lord for Him. Many of us wake up tomorrow. We don't know what that day holds. You know, sometimes you wake up and you just, something's wrong. There's just a heaviness. You go and do what you normally do, but there's something wrong. There's something going on. There's a heaviness in your life. It's called warfare. We don't realize it. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with them. You're getting attacked. You're frustrated. You're irritated. Set at everything. You're going through warfare. And do you know the enemy's greatest weapon against you is your emotions? Oh, you guys know that. The enemy's greatest weapon against us is he deals with us internally, and we cannot discern that this is the enemy or this is my flesh or what is this? Now, sometimes, and I'm not the kind of guy that says everything's the enemy, everything's warfare. They're just things that happen. But I believe the enemy is behind many of those things. And I don't want to make excuses. Well, I'm just going through warfare, so I'm in the flesh. No, you're in the flesh because you chose to walk in the flesh. Maybe the enemy's luring you and tempting you to be in the flesh. I guarantee he is. But you're in the flesh because you have not put on the armor. Because you have not been a soldier. Because you're a civilian. All of a sudden something hits you. This trial comes upon you. And you're now in the flesh. Because you're not ready. We're not ready. Think of on the offensive. We always think on the defensive. But think on the offensive. The Spirit of the Lord stirs your heart. And He says to you, Go share my word with that person sitting on that bench over there. And you think, you've got to be kidding me. That couldn't be the Lord. Well, if it is, I just can't do that. Why? Because you're a civilian. You're not ready. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 there in verse 15, to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation there is a word in the Greek that speaks of being made ready. That you've been prepared. And it's not just I'm prepared, but I'm ready. It's I've been prepared and now ready to go. But how many of us wake up and go out in our day, go out into the battlefield and go out there ready, alert, sober, watchful, realizing that we have an enemy, realizing that he's out to steal, to kill, to destroy us, to devour us, realizing that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, who can the enemy devour? Who will let him? Listen to what it says. It says, he seeks whom he may devour. Well, who will the enemy devour? Enemies devour whoever they can. Who will let the enemy work on them emotionally? Who will not have the shield of faith? Who will not know how to use the sword of the Spirit? Who's the weakest? He's going to hit you. You see, many people live their Christian life discouraged, defeated, depressed, wondering why it's so difficult. Because they won't take heed to the Word of God. They don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when the enemy comes and says, oh, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. Look at what's going on in your life. How can you say that God loves you? God doesn't love you. Look at you. And that's when you pull out the sword of the Spirit. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. For God demonstrates His love for me because when I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. For He loves me and died for me. And you begin to quote the Scriptures. And you begin to stand on the Scriptures. And you begin to hold to the Scriptures. And you begin to put feelings on the shelf because you know what? They're not reality. Have your feelings ever led you into truth? The Spirit of God has led you into truth. But have your feelings ever, let me put it this way, have your feelings ever misled you? How many of you felt like at one time you were absolutely sure that it was this one for you? And you were so in love. And you knew without a shadow of a doubt it was him, it was her, it was, this is it, this is the Lord. And today you're laughing about it. And you're laughing and you're thankful that it wasn't the Lord. And you're in a state of worship that it wasn't the Lord. And your feelings, our feelings mislead us, misguide us. And the enemy knows that. It's the greatest point of the target, if you would, the bullseye on the target the enemy hits us with. And what all we need is a simple, sober look at the Word of God. Now, it's not a Bible study tape you can pop in at that time and go, yes, I need some encouragement. You need the Word of God in you. You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. You need to be able to pull out the right word for the right given time. You need to be able to pull it out and say, you know, as the enemy brings fear your way. And you can pull out verses that deal with fear. As the enemy brings maybe lust your way, you can pull out verses that deal with that. As the enemy brings maybe bitterness your way, you can pull out verses that deal with that. And you can begin to battle the battle with the Word of God and find victory. So many Christians are huddled in the corner just hoping they make it to heaven because they're defeated. But God, that's not what we see in the New Testament, is it? That's not what we see the Lord has for us. He's got a life of victory, a life of advancing. Listen, Jesus told Peter, he says, Peter, you've got the keys to the kingdom. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. So many times I see the gates of hell seeming to prevail. If I was to look at the church today, I would not believe that verse unless I knew that God has got a way of working this out. God is sovereign. And you know what? You look at the early church, a church that believed in the Word of God, a church that helped to the Scriptures, a church that was sober, vigilant, looking out for the attacks of the devil, a church that was in prayer, a church that was a church of advancing, an offensive church, a church that was taking the world by storm. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul and you find someone who's got armor on. You find a soldier of Jesus Christ. You look at Timothy and you see a man that's a soldier, and not just a soldier, but a good soldier. You see, somebody that's a good soldier is somebody that's heart is in it. A good soldier is one. And anybody that's been around any soldiers know this. Anybody that's been in the military knows this. Somebody that's their life is being a soldier. It's not just their job. It's their life. It's their passion. They're going to be the best marksman that's ever lived. They're going to be the best at what they do. It's their life. And brothers and sisters, I ask you, is being a good soldier of Jesus Christ your life? Is pleasing Him who enlisted you into the battle your life? Is it the Lord? Is it you living for self, being a civilian? Or can you say that you walk through those doors tonight as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? And when hardship comes your way, you can endure it because you're a trained, good soldier of Jesus Christ. When those emotions come your way, when those thoughts enter in, when those deceptive lies come your way, you deal with them with the sword of the Spirit because you're trained, because you're a soldier. Because that's your enemy at that point and you're able to deal with it. When the discouragement sets in, when the oppression is upon you, when it feels like you can't go on, is it Jesus Christ and Him crucified that upholds you? Is it the power of God that is filling you because you have a faith in Jesus Christ, because you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because you're ready for the battle? Because you're prepared. Brothers and sisters, there is such hope for us. There is such a life of victory and of accomplishment in the things of God. Not us accomplishing, but watching God accomplish His work through us as we sit back and see His glory. And all we say is, Lord, I'm available. I'm a soldier. I've got an ear to hear the command of my sergeant. And when you say, go to the left, I turn. I don't ask why. I don't say, but Sarge, what do you mean? I'm a soldier. And I'm a good soldier. I don't ask questions. I don't second guess. I follow wholeheartedly the commands of my sergeant. But you see, God's not this military sergeant coming down and rebuking me. But it's my loving Father simply saying, trust me. Trust me. Go here. Do this. Read that. Pray for this. Trust me. Speak to them. Open your mouth now. Be quiet now. Because He's a faithful, loving Father. You see, when we realize that we have an enemy, and we realize that we're in warfare presently, and we set our heart and we set our focus on Jesus Christ. And I don't know how many of you tonight that your heart is stirred. I don't know how many of you as Christians say, I want to be the best soldier of Jesus Christ that's ever lived. Because if you can say that tonight, it's your heart. Your heart's in it. I don't just want to make it to heaven. That's not my desire. Just to get to my desire is to please Him who enlisted me as a soldier. My desire is to be... Notice Paul says, Timothy, you must endure hardship as a good soldier, not a soldier, a good soldier. You've got to be a good... Timothy, you... Paul knows. Timothy, I know that you want to be a good soldier. And I know for so many of us here tonight, your desire is the Lord. Your desire is Him. Your desire is to glorify the Lord. Your desire is to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, if it is, if your desire is to be the best soldier Jesus has ever had in His army, you can be. You just simply need to turn to Him. You need to realize that you can't live a life of a civilian. You see, when everyone else is out on Friday nights, going out to eat, going to movies, doing what the world does, the civilians do. You're sharing the gospel. You're in prayer. You're in study. When the world comes and says, "What's wrong with you?" you know you're doing something right. Well, what? Why do you always go to Bible study on Thursday nights? Why are you always tired on Fridays at work? You're always out late. What do you do? Why do you do that? Because you're in training and you know it. You don't have to explain it. They won't understand it. But you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Why do you take those Bible school courses? You don't even get any credit. There's no diploma. Well, that is just not logical. And you know, they look down and they question. They're perplexed. You got them thinking. And you know in your heart, because you're in training, because you know that you're in a battle and you need the Word of God in you. And you need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit. And why is it that you don't come and fellowship all the time? Why are you always studying? You know, we need to be careful. We can be caught up in what I call Christian civilian life. Potlucks and fellowships and hang time and whatever. You know, and we just kind of go all. We don't do the things the world does. We're not out drinking and we're not out, you know, doing these things. But we're just hanging out, doing nothing. But we're Christians. We're existing. We're loving each other. We're fellowshipping. And again, fellowship is very important. And for some, they need more fellowship. For others, they need less. There's a balance in everything. But because so many, they can fellowship till 3 a.m. But you give them a book? You know, on the book of Romans? The theology of Romans? And they're like, "Boy, this is for a pastor." No, that's for a soldier of Jesus Christ. You give them a book on exegetical Bible study. What's that? Exegetical Bible study. I mean, that's for someone that wants to teach. No, that's for a soldier of Jesus Christ. That's for your own heart. That's for your own understanding. That's for when the enemy comes against you like a flood, you're able to stand. When he comes against you in your own personal life, you're able to say, the Word of God says this. When the enemy says, "God doesn't love you. God, look at what's happening." You can fall back on your study you did on the attributes of God, and you can know God's sovereignty. And you can hold on to it. And you can stand when you feel like everything's falling apart. You can know that you know that you know that God is in control. And you know your God. He's bigger than just some little genie in the sky to rub the bottle when you pray, "Give me what I want." But He's God. He's not the American God we've made up. You know, so many Christians today in America, they're worshiping a God that isn't real. It's not the God of the Bible. It's the God they like. The God that blesses, the God that helps, the God that strengthens, but not the God that brings them through trials, not the God that says that, you know, in this world you're going to have tribulation, not the God that says in your family there's going to be persecution, not the God that says you are going to die for your faith. What? People say, and I'll tell you, it's revealed, and I know as a pastor I've seen it revealed so many times. People say, "God would never have you, Joe, take your family into that situation." Did God, and I'm telling you, good Christians, according to what we know as good Christians, "God, Joe," and persecution starts coming on Joe Horner. "Look at what you," and now judgment. Now condemnation. "Look at what you're doing. How can you do this? Because God would never have you do that." Could you show me that God in the Bible? Could you even find Him anywhere? Could you even show me a hint of that God in the Scriptures? Because why? We've made up God in our own image to suit what we like. I call Him the American God. He's the God of blessing, the God of peace, the God of happiness, and the God that is good when I need Him, and when I don't, then He can just hang out and wait for me to come back. It's not the God of the Bible. And it's so grieving, it's so sad, because so many people don't see it. They think everything's fine, and they go to church every Sunday. But they don't know. People tell me, why would you travel, Trent, like you do? Leave your family, risk your life. Now, I'm talking about Christians, okay? People that have been in church for years, people that teach Bible studies, people that, you know, are elders in their churches, people that are recognized in leadership, and they act like God doesn't care about other people but Americans. And I go, well, the Word of God calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I mean, that's just a part. But you don't really believe that that's like your job. Well, whose is it? Well, you're just getting a little carried away. Well, boy, Paul got real carried away. You know, all of the apostles, these guys that you'll teach from their books, got real carried away. They say, what if one of your missionaries died? What would you do then? I said, I hope I'd worship the Lord. What am I supposed to do? Quit? Doesn't the Bible tell us that some of us are going to be martyrs for the faith? Oh, well, God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't. He has. But I mean, like people with families. He has. What are you going to say about that? He has. Because, see, we have this God that's in our own image. And do you know that when a tragedy comes into Americans' life, they're shaken to their core and their faith is usually destroyed? Maybe a death in the family, maybe one of their kids dies, a spouse dies, something happens. Their whole faith is shaken and turned upside down. You know why? Because they've been worshiping a false god. Because they didn't believe God would ever let that happen in their life. And when God did, they questioned God and said, God, why? And they yelled at God and they got upset at God and they walked away from God because they never followed God. Did God promise us that these things would happen? Absolutely. Do you know when it happens in other countries like Sudan, people don't walk away from God because they don't have an American God that they worship. They worship the God of the Bible. They accept it. They grieve, they mourn, they grow, they're healed by the Lord, and they go on. And they walk with God. But you know, 90% of the church today would not do that if that happened in their lives. Because we worship a God made up into our own image, the American God. And it's sad. Because you know what? We are missing out on so much. God has so much for you and I. So much more. So much deeper of a life. What is it? What is it with the American Christians? They're civilians. They're not soldiers. They don't have the mind of a soldier. They have the mind of a civilian. They're what I call civilian Christians. How many of us tonight here are civilian Christians? How many of us tonight here could honestly, before the Lord, say, Lord, I'm a civilian. I'm not a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm not even a soldier of Jesus Christ. But Lord, I'm a civilian enlisted into a battle. And Lord, I'm getting thrashed. And it's hard. And tonight, the Lord wants to say to you, do you want to become a good soldier? Do you want to become a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Then you need to put away. You need to turn in your civilian clothing. And you need to let me arm you with the armor of God. You need to allow me to become the Lord and the Master, not just the Savior, but the Master of your life. You need to begin to rethink how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you use your mind, what you say with your mouth, where you go with your feet. You need to rethink your entire life. And you need to design your life and establish your life on the Word of God, on my Word. You need to say, Lord, what did the early church, what did the New Testament believers, how did they spend their time? And you need to begin to examine the Scriptures. I don't need to tell you, you need to examine the Scriptures. You need to get with the Lord. And you need to examine the Scriptures. Lord, what did the early church, what did the New Testament believers, how did they spend their money? And you need to begin to examine the Scriptures. And on, Lord, and how did they live? And you need to begin to examine the Scriptures. And as you do, you're going to find something. They don't live like you do. They don't live anything like you do. They live a whole different way. They have a whole different mindset. And you're going to also find that they're not sad. And they're not defeated. They're not bummed out. They're Christians and they're enlisted in a war. They're filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God. And the miracle working hand of God is moving through their lives. And there's a power there. And there's a joy and there's an excitement. So much in Acts chapter 5 when the apostles were beaten. They were beaten for their faith. It says and they left the council rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for His name. How many of us, honestly, would leave the council rejoicing? After you went to court, you were beaten for being a Christian, you would leave saying, oh, He counted us worthy. This is a glorious day. He counted as your body is bleeding, He counted us worthy for His name. That's the mind of a soldier. That's not the civilian. Wouldn't even consider that. And that mind was in those apostles before that happened. They had already realized, they had already determined in their lives that their life was a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. And their chief goal and passion in life was to bring Him glory. And when they were beaten for His name, they said, praise Him that He allowed us to be partakers of this, that He could be glorified through our mouths and through our lives, and that we could go down as a witness, and they didn't even realize it at that point, but a witness to the church throughout all ages, that Jesus Christ is being glorified even in our suffering, even in our beating. You see, they worshiped a different God than we do so many times. And I pray that tonight, God would grab a hold of our hearts. And God would show us our great need to become soldiers, to begin to live like soldiers, to begin to think like a spiritual soldier of Jesus Christ. And allow God to begin to shape us and to change us. And to make us vessels for Him. Not just people that can speak in tongues and can prophesy and can sing in an afterglow and can pour out our hearts in prayer, but people with true depth. When the battle begins, they're there, they're ready. They're the kind of people you'd want fighting for our nation. They have courage, they have faith, they're not shaken, they're not deterred, they continue to go on because they are soldiers of Jesus Christ, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And when the battle is upon them, they're ready. They've been trained, they've lived, every breath they've taken to this point was for this purpose, and they're ready to go. And you know what they do? They have victory. They conquer. They destroy. Israel was attacked by three nations. At one time, in 6 days, they defeated all three nations because the entire country had been trained for that day. They were attacked suddenly. They were attacked on a day of Yom Kippur. They were attacked on the Day of Atonement when all of their TVs were turned off, when all of their radios were turned off, when they had no way to communicate with the nation, that the nation was under siege as airplanes begin to fly over and bomb them, as tanks begin to surround them, and they begin to launch their fighter jets and to break the sound barrier over the nation to show the people we're in war. And the nation rose up, took arms, and defeated three countries in 6 days. One of the most phenomenal events in history in war ever. Why? Because they were ready. Even when they seemed they weren't ready, And they conquered more land than they possessed before that time. That's called victory. Victory. And when Satan comes against you, and when Satan comes against me, you know what God wants to do? He wants to work all things out for His good. For those who love God and for those who are called according to His purpose, God wants to take you and me, and Satan's going to come in and try to attack us, and God's going to cause us to rise up and to gain more territory and more land. Every time he attacks, he's kicked back farther. That's the ways of the Lord. And if we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we're going to find that victory. And you want to talk about a celebration in the land of Israel at the end of those 6 days? You want to talk about a celebration in the kingdom of heaven when Satan comes in and tries to destroy and when God's name is glorified? Because God's people are ready, God's people are focused, God's people are vigilant, sober, recognizing the adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but they resist him steadfast in their faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by their brotherhood in the world, and the God of all grace and the God of all mercy will bring and establish and strengthen and settle them in his due time. To him be the glory. God will come through. God will show himself strong as we stand with him, as we trust him, as we hold on to his word, and God's name will be glorified and the church will celebrate. Listen, for years, the church has been sleeping. For years, the church has been living like civilians. It's time to wake up. We are living in a generation, brothers and sisters, that you are so lucky to be a part of. You are so blessed to be a part of. A generation, brothers and sisters, that God is pouring out His Spirit as we speak. Not something God might do that. God is right now pouring out His Spirit. God right now is doing a work. You know, I just returned from Romania, and I'm telling you, God has such a work, it isn't even funny. I mean, I go to Romania to check out a couple cities, to pray about where we're going to plant a little church, start an orphanage. The first day I'm there, I open the morning up with a devotion with the team there and share about Paul in Acts chapter 16. It's a normal thing I do for vision tours, about how God forbid him to go to Asia and forbid him to go to Bithynia and led him to Troas and gave him a vision. And I just told the team, you know, we should pray that God would lead us through visions and words, and God would just pour out his Holy Spirit on us. So we just began to pray, and God started giving us visions right there. And God began to give us a vision. We were in a city called Constanza, which is about a 12-hour drive from Istanbul, Turkey. And God began to give us a vision about Turkey, and about how God was going to use Romania for a hub and to train up. And we began to... We had no clue. We had no idea about how close we were to Turkey. I didn't know anything. We go that day and meet a guy in the city who has got a Bible school, and they're training up the Romanians, and they're teaching them Turkish language. And we find out that there's a huge population of Turks in Romania. And God is beginning, he's already been pouring out his Spirit. They're preparing people to go into Turkey. And as we continue to travel, I'd say on the whole trip, we probably had 15 to 20 visions. And God began to speak, and God began to show us that Romania was, as it is known in the secular world, as the breadbasket to Europe. And Romania is the place where God wants to pour out his Spirit and use as a hub. Just like our church here, a hub to the Bulgaria and Yugoslavia and Hungary and Kiev and all of these places. You can go on and on and on. All of these countries around Romania are just waiting for the gospel. Amen. Romania itself is absolutely unreached. It was amazing to me. The place is unreached. It's only been free from communism for 12 years and still has a sense of communism a part of it. And the only thing that's there is the Orthodox Church. And I can't tell you, brothers and sisters, how many cities and how many villages right now in Romania do not have one one evangelical Bible preaching church in it, and the people are hungry. That's one country in the midst of many. And so we find ourselves in Turkey, seeking. I'm sitting in Turkey going, I didn't come to go to Turkey. And we begin the morning in prayer. And wouldn't you know it, God gives us a vision. And He shows us this vision of a statue of holding up a cross and holding a Bible in its hand, but you can't see the face of the statue. And the statue's like 10 stories tall, and then you see all around the statue about one story tall mosque. And God's showing the victory of the cross over Islam. And it's just, you know, amazing. And so James has this vision, and so we're just praying, and then he writes the vision down and draws it out in his journal. At dinner, he opens his journal, and Amy Davlin looks at it and goes, I had that vision this morning. And James is like, "What? This is my vision." She's like, what is that? I had a vision this morning just like that. And you're just, I'm just, you know, I don't have visions. I'm an old man, I have dreams. But actually, my dreams are not about anything that have to do with the Lord. So I just have a Bible, you know. And, you know, Amy's not one that has visions all the time. And you know, I'm just sitting there, and I'm just sitting back just going, okay, the Lord's saying something here. I probably should listen. You know, and it's like, when we were in Romania, there were some things that God did that just, I was sitting at lunch with Florin and Amy and James and myself and another lady that's from Romania. She leaves, and they begin to share what God had been speaking to them last night. God didn't speak anything to me last night. I was thinking, I went to sleep. And they begin to share, and the Lord, it's like the Lord opened my heart and began to pour into me His vision. And I mean, it was a holy moment. I was just sitting there like going, God is speaking. And God is doing a work. But you know what? That's not something that's odd. That's something that's normal that God's doing in our church. That's what I expect when I go. When I on the way to Romania on the plane, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to prepare? He says, just be open because I'm going to show you myself. Okay, Lord. That's the relationship I have with the Lord. I'm a simple guy. Okay, great. Let's go. You know, I don't get all spiritual and tripped out and mystical. I just, okay, let's go. And so I went with the mind just going, okay, the Lord's going to speak. Great. What's He going to speak, you know? And God begins to speak. And I'll tell you what, I sat there just saying, I'm going to die. My heart's going to stop. The Lord is pouring out His Spirit. And it's not just in Romania, and it's not going to be just in Turkey, and it's not just in Africa, and it's not just in England, and it's not just in Belize, and it's not just in Mexico. It's here in our church, and that's just the beginning. And God is saying, where is my army? And are we soldiers? Because I've got a work to do. And I'm looking for those whom I can use. And I encourage you to search your heart and let the Lord Jesus Christ touch you and fill you and anoint you and draw you to Himself and take you out of this world and make you a part of His kingdom. Not just theologically, but practically. And make you someone who's a soldier of Jesus Christ. The way you spend your time, it's because you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. The way you spend your money, the way you use your mind, everything you do in life is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God, His calling on my life, His calling on our church. And realizing that there's an enemy that's going to be defeated. And you get to play a part in defeating him. And that's a glorious, glorious privilege and an awesome opportunity that God has given to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, for your word once again, Lord, to our hearts. God, we ask that you would fill us with your strength, that you would pour out your spirit once again, Lord, upon us. We need you. We need a refilling. We need a refreshing. Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your spirit of conviction. God, that you would show us those areas in our lives that we're living as civilians. For God, we don't want to be civilians. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to compromise. But God, we want all you've got. Because we know, Lord, you're all we need. Fill us, we pray, Lord. Fill us with you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with, Lord, the vision that's in your heart. And Lord, as you do, fill us with faith because we're going to need it. Because your ways are so far beyond ours, it's hard for us to believe. God, I pray that you, Lord, would do your work. Pour out your spirit. Have your way. Touch and cleanse tonight, Lord. Refocus and rebuild and reshape our lives that they would be based upon you and your word. We bless you, Lord, and we honor you.